Well, good morning, First Family. If you will turn to Mark chapter 4, verses 35 through 41, that's where we're going to be this morning. Oh. So to say the least, I'm very nervous. Just like Quinn stated when he was up here, this is also my very first time to ever preach and share a sermon with anybody. So bear with me. So for anybody that doesn't know me, I'm Lane Pruitt, and I'm the family pastor here at Medill First Baptist. And I get the pleasure to share a message with y'all. You got to hear my little brother Quinn about a month ago, and now you get to listen to me. And we all know the old saying that they saved the best for the last, right? So, no, he did a great job. I just hope that I can do half as good as he did. But like he stated, he's a pacer, right? He's back and forth. I don't know what I am. It's my first time. I don't know. So if I start pacing, we can blame it on him. So we're talking about storms this morning. And storms in life, storms that just overwhelm us and we don't know what to do, kind of where to go in a storm and how to operate through a storm. So before we jump in, I'd like to share a little story. So there was a little boy. They went to visit his grandpa during the summer. And he walks up to him and he says, "Hey, Grandpa, when I get older, I want to be a very successful man." And the grandpa says, "Okay." And he says, "Can you help me with that?" He said, "Sure." So he took him down to the local nursery, and they bought two identical plants. And they brought them home, and they took the first one and planted it in a pot inside the house. And they took the other one and planted it in the field outside. And the grandpa asked him, "Which one of these two plants do you think is going to be more successful?" And the little boy thought about it for a second. He said, "Well, probably the one that's inside, because it's out of danger. It's away from all the storms. It doesn't have to worry about anything. And the one outside is going to face all kinds of things, like storms, wind, and even animals." And so the grandfather smiled and said, "Well, let's see what future has to hold." And so the boy leaves and goes back to his parents. And 4 years later, he comes back, and he's running around. And he runs up to his grandpa and says, "Hey, Grandpa, you remember that one time when I asked you to teach me how to be successful? And you didn't teach me anything?" He said, "Can you teach me something now?" And so the grandpa smiled and said, "Yes, but first we're going to go look at the plants and that we bought 4 years ago." And so they go to the plants and they look at the one that's inside the pot. He notices it became a little tree. And then he takes the boy outside to the one he planted in the field, and they look at it, and he noticed it grew into a huge tree. And he said, "Now, which one of these two do you think was more successful now?" And he says, "Well, the huge tree, because it's grown so big, but I don't understand, when it had to go through so many different things, it had to go through storms and it had to go through obstacles, how is the tree we planted outside bigger than the one we planted inside that doesn't have to worry about anything?" And so the grandfather smiled and said, "Yes, the plant outside must face a lot of things. It's going to go through many obstacles. But the storms make us stronger. The storms grow our roots, right? The one outside could grow its roots wherever it wanted to, right? The one inside had to grow in a pot. So when we're going through a storm, storms help us grow. They make us stronger. But when you're confined to the situation of fear and whatever you're going through, when you confine yourself to that, right, your roots can't grow. And they allow you to fall over. But if you put your roots in Jesus, your roots can go strong, and they can have freedom to grow wherever they want. So we're in Mark chapter 4, 35 through 41. And to kind of give you an idea of what's going on here, in the first of this chapter, he's teaching about parables, and he's teaching about the sower, and he's teaching about the seed and faith of the mustard seed. He's teaching all different things like that. And so parables means a earthly story with a heavenly meaning, right? He's teaching us how to live under God's rule and how to have faith. And so He had been teaching all day, and where he was teaching at was at the Sea of Galilee, and the crowd was so big that it backed him up to the sea, so much that he had to get inside a boat. And what he did was stood up inside of a boat, and he was teaching the crowd off the front of this boat. And so now this is where we're at in Mark chapter 4, 35 through 41. If you'll read along with me, if you don't have your Bible, it'll be up on the screen. So it says, "On that day, when evening had come, he told them, 'Let's cross over to the other side of the sea.' So they left the crowd and took him along since he was in the boat, and other boats were with him. A great windstorm arose, and waves were breaking over the boat, so that the boat was already being swamped. He was in the stern sleeping on a cushion. So they woke him and said to him, 'Teacher, don't you care? We're going to die.' He got up, rebuked the wind, and said to the sea, 'Silence, be still.' The wind ceased, and there was a great calm. Then he said to them, 'Why are you afraid? Do you still have no faith?' And they were terrified and asked one another, 'Who then is this? Even the wind and sea obey him.'" So there's three things I want to tell y'all, three traits about storms that I want to tell y'all this morning. And it's stuff that God taught me last week through this scripture. And it's storms are, storms can, and storms teach. So, storms are. Right? Throughout Jesus' walk with his disciples, he would give them tests. And he would be testing their faith to see if they believed and believed what they were taught and see if they had learned anything. So, when you were in school, the teacher would give you a test. And sometimes it'd be a pop quiz, and sometimes it would be a final exam. But the tests were always designed to see whether or not you had learned what was taught. In preparation of where you're going, right, from one grade to the next, they're always involved a test. Not too many people when I was in school got too excited about tests. I know I didn't. I didn't like tests. I don't know who does. But we all understand that it's part of the curriculum. So part of the curriculum for our lives are storms. They're going to happen, and they are a test. Now, a good teacher will test you over information already taught to you. They don't teach you over things that you haven't covered yet. So there's two different types of storms we're talking about, right? Two different types of tests. There's the pop quiz and there's the final exam. The pop quiz is exactly what it sounds like. It pops up in your life when you didn't expect it, right? You see, sometimes when you were in school, the teacher would send you home with your book and tell you to read a specific chapter. And then a couple days later, she'd say, "All right, hey, put your books up. We're about to have a test," right? If you had studied for your test, or studied the chapter, you didn't have nothing to worry about. You kick back and relax. But if you didn't study for your test, you're thinking, "Oh my gosh, what have I done?" Right? So pop quizzes can be multiple things in life. Whether it's a phone call where we receive bad news, or it's a doctor's visit where we get a bad report. Right, the things that we didn't expect to happen. Right? Are you reading your chapter? Are you reading your Bible so that when life throws you a pop quiz that you're prepared for it? But then there's also final exams. Right? We all know they're coming. When we're in school, we study all year long for the final exams. And so what are the final exams of life? Well, I'll tell you a couple. Right? Death. That's the final exam. It's going to happen. It's going to happen to all of us. And if we live long enough, we're going to lose somebody we love. Are you prepared for that test? Are you prepared to lose somebody that you love? And are they prepared for that, right? Do they know Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior? Do you know Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior? Have you made that commitment to him? And do you know if they're going to do it, right? Because when we all die, we're going one or two places, right? And I want to make sure that my loved ones are in heaven and I get to see them again. So the other one is Jesus coming back. It's going to happen, right? Are you prepared for when he does? Are we prepared, and are we living the lives that God has planned for us to live, or are we still not studied up for that test? So storms are a confirmation. And what storms confirm is our strength and our faith in a few different ways. When we face uncertainty in storms, they can test and reveal how deep our faith is. When everything's going smooth, it's easy to have faith, but when times get tough is really when it challenges our faith, and we really have to trust in God in those moments. Storms confirm his power, right? Just like Jesus calmed the storm, storms remind us that God is with us, even in the darkest moments. Storms can confirm our faith, right? And it confirms that our faith can withstand any storm. And then when we emerge on the other side, it's stronger than it ever was. So storms can also be confirmed and test us, but the tests aren't meant to break us. They're meant to shape us for a better to a better version of ourselves. So storms can, right? So storms can happen suddenly. In verse 35, it says, Jesus said, "Let us go to the other side of the sea." And they left the crowd and set out for the other side. In verse 37, it tells us a great windstorm arose, and the waves were breaking over the boat and beginning to fill it. Now, we all know that some of the disciples were fishermen, right? They lived on a boat. They had seen wind. They had seen waves. This should have been nothing to them. But this is how we understand that this was a different type of storm. So the Greek word used to explain the storm is lilaps, which means whirlwind. And what's the first thing us Oklahoma people think of when we hear whirlwind? Tornado, absolutely. We live in Tornado Alley. But that's how we understand that this is a different type of storm. When they left, everything was fine. But on their way, everything started falling apart. Right? We get in lilaps. We get in storms, right? And some of us are in a storm right now. And they come and they interrupt our everyday life. But I've got to tell you, you have faith and put your faith in Jesus, and everything is going to work out okay. So storms can cause you to doubt God. You know, it's amazing to me how clearly we hear the devil in the storm, how clearly we can hear the enemy in a storm telling us that we're not good enough, or what if this happens. And we can't hear God telling us it's going to be okay. We can't hear God's promises, the promises he tells us over and over again in the Bible, that we miss that. And it's amazing to me how the God that has been so faithful can be so doubted, and the enemy that has been completely unfaithful can be so trusted. But it's because we get caught up in the fear of storms, right? We get caught up in the what ifs. But see, fear must be fed. And the way it's fed is an all-you-can-eat buffet of what-ifs, right? What if I end up alone? What if I lose my job? What if I lose my house? And now we're in the middle of a storm in the wilderness of what-ifs. And I want to tell you that what-if is a weapon that the devil uses to keep you from doing what you know good and well in your heart that God has called you to do. So, but now we have to remember that the Bible is very, very clear about this, that the devil is a liar. He can't even tell the truth. It's a language that's not even there for him. It's foreign to him. And equally, God can't lie because he is the truth. So faith gives God access to work in your storm, and fear gives the enemy access. Every fear the enemy's central objective is to get you to doubt God's purpose, God's plan, and God's promises, right? Every fear that's brought into your life is an attempt to nullify one of God's promises in his word. 2 Timothy 2:7 says, "For God has not given us a spirit of fear, but of power and love and a sound mind." So if God has given us the power, has not given us the spirit of fear, then why are we letting the storms control our life? So now we move on to storms teach. And they teach you to trust God through the storms. There's a song that Scott Kerpane wrote, and it's called "Sometimes He Calms the Storm." And the lyrics read, "Sometimes he calms the storm with a whisper, 'Peace be still.' He can settle any sea, but doesn't mean he will. Sometimes he holds us close and lets the wind and waves go wild. And sometimes he calms the storm, and other times he calms his child." You see, we want him to come into our lives, and you want him to pull us out of the storm we're in right now. Or you want him to come in and fix the situation in your life right now. But sometimes we've got to go through the storm because storms make us stronger, right? And so when we're going through the storm, he comes in and wraps his hands around us, wraps his arms around us, and makes sure that we make it through to the other side, because that's a promise that he gives us. And then other times, he gives us a peace that passes all understanding, right? It's a peace that, well, I'm up here right now, right? I should be terrified. I should be petrified, because it's the first time I've ever spoke to a crowd, but there's a peace that passes understanding. And so when we're in a storm, we forget his promises. We forget his word. You see, let's go back to the very first of this passage. In verse 35, it said, before they even left, let us cross over to the other side of the sea. Did you catch that? Before they even left, he said, let us cross to the other side of the sea. Are you believing his word in the middle of the storm when everything starts going wrong? And are you remembering his promises? He already told us what was going to happen. So, in Jeremiah 29:11, a lot of y'all know this passage, it's a very popular one. It says, for I know the plans that I have for you, declares the Lord. Plans to prosper you, not to harm you, and plans to give you a hope and a future. Right? He's already told us we're going to the other side. He's already made that promise to us. Right? So no matter what storm comes your way, you can always go back to Jeremiah 29. He's got plans for a future for you. He's got plans for hope. Right? He's got a plan to prosper you. So no matter what the what if is, no matter what the fear is, no matter what the storm is, right? There's a promise. So storms teach us about ourselves. Right? In verse 40 it says, then he asked, why are you so afraid? Do you still have no faith? Right? A fierce storm has come. Jesus was asleep. The waves are crashing over the side of the boat. The disciples have lost control, like a lot of us do, and they began to fear. They can't believe Jesus is still asleep, so they wake him up and say to him, teacher, don't you care that we're about to die? So Jesus gets up and rebukes the wind and the waves, and the sea becomes calm. Then Jesus turns to the disciples and asks, why are you so afraid? Right? This seems like an odd question. We're in a storm, the boat's filling up, our lives are at risk, you're asleep, and you're asking me why I have no faith and why I'm scared, right? And I can already see Peter, right? He's the one that likes to talk. Oh, I don't know, maybe because we're about to die, right? But Jesus didn't ask that question because he wanted to know why they were afraid. He asked the question to point out a point, right? Meaning you shouldn't be afraid. You see, the concern about dying was normal. Jesus' question about their fear versus their faith was not about the concern of dying. The question was not even about the reaction to the storm. The question was about the reaction to Jesus in the storm. Right? They shouted, teacher, don't you care? We're about to die. Instead of asking, Lord, can you help us? They questioned his love and concern for them. We all have. Because the storms in life, we see God as less than what he is. And we doubt his love and care for us, and it's exactly what the devil wants us to do. See, fear blinded them from who Jesus really was. So, storms teach us about God. So I really want us to look at this right here. And Jesus said, let us go to the other side. So, they're in the will of God. Jesus said, let's go to the other side. But they're also in a storm. Right? So, we want to ask why. Why am I going through this when I'm serving God? Right? But teachers give tests to good and bad students, right? So, don't let anyone ever tell you that the storms, that there won't be storms and there won't be rain when you're in God's will. Sometimes we haven't even seen rain until we're in God's will. So the boat is filling up with water. And look at verse 38. What does it tell us? It tells us that he was asleep on a cushion. Now what good is a Savior that's going to sleep on us while we're in a storm? But hold on. Have you ever noticed how quiet a teacher gets in school when you're taking a test? Right, sometimes Jesus will get quiet on you. When Billy Graham was in college, he wrote home to his mom, and he said, "The past few weeks, I haven't been able to get anywhere in my prayer. I just feel like I can't even feel Christ. I feel like I can't even touch him." Right? And his mom wrote back, and she said, "Whether you have a feeling or not, you've accepted Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, and sometimes when you can't feel him is when he's the closest, because in that moment, you have to walk by sheer faith, and he's testing you." Right? If you're in the will of God right now, and you're going through some things, and he seems so far away, he's still there. I want to do a little exercise this morning. I don't want everybody to think about their worst fear. Because your worst fear is not more powerful than God's ability to bring his best in your life. Right? If the God who hung the universe, the moon, the stars, the sun, if the God that has no equal, if the God that it says in Scripture uses the earth as a footstool, if that's the God that loves you, what are you scared of? There's nothing you have to be scared of, right? And if that's the God that wants to have a relationship with you, what are you fearful of? He's already taken care of the biggest problem in your life, which is your eternal salvation, right? If he can fix the biggest problem in your life, why can't we trust him with every other problem on this side of eternity? See, he's going to protect you. He's going to provide for you. He already has. But Scripture tells us that we have to be careful because fear wants us to forget how powerful he is. And fear wants us to forget that we're loved. The disciples did, right? When fear comes into our life, it may overwhelm you for a moment. But there's nothing stopping you from taking a step back, taking a deep breath, and believing God's promises. So, I'm going to call Billy up here. And we'll have an altar call, and I want to challenge us today. While Billy plays, I want to challenge us that we start putting our faith over our fears, right? We step out of the fear in the storm, and we start living God's promised plan for our life, right? So our guys are going to come down, and if God spoke to y'all today, come down front, come pray with one of us, and come pray by yourself. But